God is so good, amen. Our God is so faithful, long suffering, amen. My prayer is that we would never be a people that take for granted the mercy of our God, amen. And my prayer is that I would do the same and that I would never miss an opportunity to draw people to Yeshua the Messiah. Everything that I do, never for myself. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father King, Lord Yeshua, we just thank you, Lord, that you do meet with your people. Your word promises that your ear is attentive to the cry of your people. When we cry out, Lord, you have promised in your word that you will answer. May you grant repentance to us, Lord, wherever we fall short, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of Yeshua the Messiah, Lord. May the words that I speak, Lord, come with the authority of the Spirit, with conviction from the Ruach. Anything, Lord, that I've spoken that you do not desire or have written, Lord, that you don't desire, may you strike at anything that I miss, Lord, and may you add, Lord. May the name of Yeshua become greater. May your name be magnified in this place, Lord. May people be changed by the words that you speak, and may Eduardo become lesser in Yeshua's name. Amen. I'm so thankful for the teaching that we get here. And it's not because I'm one of the teachers, but before I was a teacher here, before I was teaching here, I always praise the Lord that when I would listen to Rabbi Mark, Zach and Dan, Barry's messages, that the Lord always was being lifted up and magnified. And even though we could be silly sometimes and we can be goofy, we were never goofy with what we presented to the Lord. And that's a beautiful thing. That we need to have a seriousness of what we bring to our God as a sacrifice. Not that we can't have fun in it, as the Fresh Prince of Bethlehem sitting right in front of me has showed us. We can have fun honoring our God, but the things that we bring to him, they don't contradict his word. I was listening to a podcast on the way here. I heard that there was a church, a huge church. If I said the name, you'll know it, so I'm not going to say it. They literally went on the front of their stage at a big conference, and they had a big staff, of a Gandalf staff. And they were using the words of Gandalf to rebuke demons. I'm not joking. This is real talk. This is serious. This is about as serious I can share with you. That is ridiculous. Isn't that so silly? And all the other negative adjectives you could think about will fit also, right? It's completely not biblical to do that. If you notice, we always bring up a lot of verses because it's important that we get into the Word. We don't just try to explain stuff or come up with our own stuff, our own take on things. We want God's Word to be front and center. Because if God's Word is front and center, we will know who he is. See, these people went in the front of that altar, on their stage, at their conference, however they want to refer to it, and they did something that they thought was pleasing to God. I'm sure they thought that this looks spiritual, or this looks good, or this might look right, or this might have an appeal to people. That's the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, they're just liars and wolves in sheep clothing looking to deceive people. But I'm sure there are some people there who are watching them who are thinking this is a biblical thing. This is a good thing. This is a God thing. May we be super saturated with the Word of God. May we sit in his Word. May we meditate on it. May we think about our God consistently. Because if we do that, we won't fall into this foolishness. Amen? That's not the message, but I really wanted to share that because I think it's important that we are aware of some of the craziness that is happening in the world. The craziness that people do in the name of God, may we never fall into those things. Amen? May we keep God's word first. Amen? May we seek to glorify Yeshua above anything else. Amen? First verse I want to read, Psalm 27:4-6. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Second part sounds good. I don't know about the first part. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Anybody want the desire of your heart? In the flesh, the part that we like about this passage is that the Lord's going to give us the desire of our heart. But in the flesh, we don't like the first part, which is to delight ourselves in the Lord sometimes. We need to be a people that put the first things first and put the secondary things secondary. And the third things, how do you say it, Mikey? Tertiary. I don't know. That's why I don't use it. I asked Mikey what it was. The word is Masha'Allah. It's something that you ask the Lord for. It's a request and a petition that you put before him that God would answer your prayers and your petitions if you commit your ways to him. Is that an amen? And from these passages that we were speaking about in Luke, I'm going to quote the parallel in Matthew. And this has to do with Rabbi Mark was teaching as well. Yeshua says, don't worry about your life or what you will eat, what you will drink. Not for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Brothers and sisters, sometimes we're a little bit off a little bit. Where our priorities are off, what we think is important is off. Then he knows, look at the birds. The Lord takes care of them. Why are you worried about clothing? Even Solomon in all of his majesty was not dressed like the lilies of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Why do you worry? The hairs on your head are all counted. The Lord will protect and care for us and take care of us. Amen. But the important thing is that we need to put our God first. If you go past over the 7, 10, 14 days, the past 30 days, go back since the first day you ever stepped inside of Bethel Gibor. Has your life been a life that has been consumed with the God of Israel? Verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's not about the flashy stuff, and it's not about having all the things. He's saying the things that you need to care for yourself, to eat to sustain yourself, clothing to stay warm, our God will take care of you if you seek his kingdom first. So we know that it's not a bad thing to have some desire for these things, amen, because we need them. And if we put God's word first and we're not putting Gandalf staffs up here, we're going to know that if we come to our God will take care of us. Amen. It's easy to say that when you don't have any need, but if you need something, it's a little bit harder, right? Lord, may your spirit, Lord, just let us know that you care for us, Lord, and that you love us and that you provide for every one of our needs, oh God. And in this portion that we're reading in Ezekiel 24, you have to understand, was Ezekiel consumed with the God of Israel? I'd say pretty much so. Ezekiel 24 says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, behold, I'm about to take away from you the desire of your eyes. See, that throws a monkey wrench in our theology. That gives us a curveball. If all you read is Psalms and you're not digging into the book of Ezekiel, you're going to be confused. How can God take away the desire from Ezekiel? Is not Ezekiel delighting himself in the Lord? It's an Art Scroll Tanakh series that translates it a little different, and I like it. Ben Adam, see, I shall take away from you the darling of your eye. He's talking about his wife. God is telling the man of God that I'm going to take away your wife tonight. Son of man, behold, I'm about to take from you the desire of your eyes with a blow, meaning that it's going to happen instantaneously. His wife will be taken from him. And if you're surprised, it's because you didn't read the chapter and you weren't listening when we just read it again. Naturally, if a man has his wife taken away from him and God says it's going to happen, the natural thing is that I will mourn and be upset and be sad because I lost my wife. But Ezekiel is given a command from God that he's not allowed to mourn. You're not allowed to be sad. You're not allowed to have any grief. You're not allowed to experience externally the pain of what you're about to go through. 17, groan silently. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind on your turban and put your shoes on your feet. You need to have a status of being ready. You're not allowed to go into that quiet place and go into that dark place and miss your wife. You cannot miss her. You must continue with the mission that I put you on, even though I am the one that takes her from you. Even though the psalmist says that you will give me the desire of my heart if I commit my ways to you. Now we have a curveball. God has said, yes, I will give you the desire of your heart. But you know what? In this situation, I'm going to take the desire from you, the thing that you desire. Do not cover your mustache. Don't eat the bread of men. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening, my wife died. It's a powerful passage. But what's more powerful is what follows. And in the morning, I did as I was commanded. Doesn't the Bible say he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord? How do we reconcile these two passages? If the wife that the God gave me is a good thing from God, how can it be a good thing if God takes her from me? Proverbs 19:14. House and wealth on inheritance from fathers, okay, that's cool. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. How does this jive with our theology? How does this jive with our understanding? Or is all of our Bible reading just coming from bumper stickers and t-shirts and Facebook memes? See, if we're not completely consumed with God's word, all we're going to get is the popular verses. All we're going to get are the nice verses that make you feel good and warm and give you butterflies. But we need to be able to reconcile these passages that are tough and difficult with the rest of those nice bumper sticker passages. Because God is much wider than that. God is widescreen. He has a context for what we're going through. And if all you read are the bumper stickers and the memes and the t-shirts that are cute and cool, then you're going to have an issue and a problem with God when he takes that which you desire from you. And you can skim the verses up there, the next ones. God tells Ezekiel the reason why he should do this. It wasn't because Ezekiel was bad or rejected the Lord. Ezekiel was to be a sign to the people that the same way that his wife will be taken from him and he cannot moan or groan or go through the natural feelings of grief for his wife, so too the people shall not groan or moan when God takes the desire from them, which is for the land of Israel. He says, on that day your mouth will be open to him who escaped, and you will speak and be mute no longer. Thus you'll be a sign to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. Sometimes I don't want to do the Lord stuff when everything's working out. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you guys are super holy. I don't know. But when things are going great, sometimes I don't want to do God's stuff in my flesh. Can you imagine if the Lord took a loved one from you and he said, now you must continue doing what you were called to do? And the problem is, it's not even like he did something wrong and that's why his wife was to be taken from him. He's enduring a pain and a trial for the sake of another. We're upset when we just deal with the circumstances of our own stupid decisions. Now I got to deal with the consequences of someone else's stupid decision? The question that the Lord is presenting before us today is, are you truly being a sign the way he called you to be a sign? Or does it just sound good for you to worship, to talk about Yeshua? Is it just a good idea or a concept, or is it something that you think is a good philosophy for life? And maybe sometimes you talk about it with people who are open to it. Or do you lay Yeshua out no matter what it costs you? Ezekiel must have loved his wife. Do you know why I say that? Because the Lord wouldn't have told him not to mourn for her if the Lord wouldn't have known that he would have mourned for her. So he's not going to mourn for her unless he loves her. Amen. Matthew 7, the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. He who has a prudent wife receives a gift from the Lord. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on understanding, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yet here the Lord takes away the desire from a prophet who's delighting himself in the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, this is for us today. We need to have a hierarchy in our desire. There needs to be the supremacy of Yeshua as number one, and no matter what else comes, that we are still faithful and in tune with him. Amen? See, if it was me, I would tell the Lord, Lord, how do you expect me to serve you when you've taken the desire from me, when you've taken my wife from me, when you've taken that sweet and pleasant thing from me, oh God? Lord, how can I even serve you, Lord? How can I do my calling in the midst of my circumstance? How can I serve you, God, with all these things I have going on? How do you expect me to be right, God, when I got all these mental issues, physical issues, heart issues, body issues, financial issues, emotional issues? How do you expect me to serve you, God, when I didn't do this or I never learned that, or my childhood was bad, my present is bad, my car doesn't work? I'm just talking about me. I don't know what y'all got, but just kidding. Fill in the blank. My circumstance is too tough, Lord. There's no possible way I could do your will. We make the mistake. I can't do your calling, Lord, because my circumstance is this. But see, for Ezekiel, his calling was his circumstance. And sometimes we confuse our circumstance and our calling. Don't let the difficult things that you endure in your life, whether done to you or ramifications of things that you've done that have ultimately been, hold you back from who God has called you to do, what God has called you to be and what he's called you to do, because indeed our God is able to use us. Amen. Do we think it's a bad thing that happened to Ezekiel for him to lose his wife? It's tough, right? It's hard. You know, say yeah, right? Ellen says yeah. I think there's degrees to it, right? But Ezekiel did what he was supposed to do. Brothers and sisters, we need to do what God is calling us to do. In the midst of all trials, in the midst of all hurt, in the midst of all opposition. In Ezekiel's circumstances, his calling was found, that he was able to do what God called him to do. Do we think that anything happens to us without the Lord allowing those things to be? Good, bad, or indifferent? If you choose darkness and you choose waywardness and you deal with the ramifications of the decisions that you've made, God have even allowed and ordained the consequences of what you're going to go through. He hasn't ordained you to do the bad, but he only allows the consequences that he allows to happen. Brothers and sisters, if I jumped off the top of this building, there are many different things that could happen to me if I choose to jump off the top of this building. I could sprain an ankle. I could break a leg. I could break my neck. I could roll like a ninja and be perfectly fine. There are many options that could happen, right? I'm saying that God is even in control of the outcome of my falling. It's my choice to go up there, but what happens when I hit the ground is up to the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, may we be a people that receive from God the good and what may seem the bad, because all things work together for the good of those who are called. It doesn't say only the good works together for those who are called. All things work together for the good of those who are called. Amen? You want to learn a lot about life? Read about King David. My man went through so much stuff. He was called someone after the Lord's own heart, yet stole somebody's wife and killed someone. He did it. I know. I saw it on Instagram. It's crazy. And David, And then it's so interesting. We think about David's circumstance to choose to be with Bathsheba, right? Was he supposed to be with Bathsheba? No. Why was he with Bathsheba? Because he wanted to be with Bathsheba, right? That was his desire. Oh, you're getting it now? Key words. Yeah, exactly. So then, but when he was with Bathsheba, had the first child died, killed the husband, did the right thing, married her, took himself, had the second child, Solomon, who becomes the second king over Israel, third really, but over the United Monarchy, in the way that we understand Davidic kingdom, Solomon becomes the one that rules over it. Who ordains life? Can a life happen if God doesn't allow it to happen? Who creates life? So God, in the midst of David's bad decisions, brings something that he desires, which is Shlomo, who will be the king over Israel, who will build the temple. See, brothers and sisters, we are not slaves to our circumstances or our conditions or our hurts and our pains and our anguish. If you take that thing and you offer it up to the Lord can clean up your circumstance and your situation if you're willing to be changed, and he can use that for his good and his glory and big glory to his name. We don't need to be prisoners to the things that happened to us in the past. And we don't need to be defined by the things that we've gone through or the hurt that we felt or even the place that you're in right now. There is wholeness and healing with our God, and we can walk in freedom and liberty. Amen. And we can have a new life. And we can magnify him, and we can declare his truth to the world. And we become disciples and make disciples. Amen. We're not stuck in the darkness. We can be in the light with our God. So David and David's life, season 3. The reality show. His son Absalom tries to usurp the kingdom from him. You think you got family drama? David went up to the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went. His head was covered and he walked barefoot. It's a sign of mourning. It's what Ezekiel wasn't allowed to do. Then all the people who were with him each covered his head and went up weeping as they went. It's natural to mourn and weep when we are going through hard times. This is Exodus 3. It's one of my favorite scenes in the Bible. Moses is doing his thing in the dark, in the wilderness. Then he looks across and a bush is set ablaze. It's on fire. He says to himself, I must go see this thing. And he says, all right, self, let's go. And he walks over to it. Then out of the bush, he hears a voice. It says, don't come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. See, we have a problem if we're not in God's word. We have a big issue if we're not in God's word. There's this huge dilemma, and so many of us miss it. If you're not in God's word, you don't know him. I don't care what you feel, what you think you feel, or what spirit you think you hear, or how good he makes you feel. If you're not consumed with God's word and praying and seeking him, you don't know him. If we are not a people that are seeking God and listening to his voice, we'd be utterly confused. There will be moments in our life where we should have our shoes on and we'll take them off. There will be times where we should put our shoes on and we'll take them off. There are times we're supposed to take them off and put them on. There's time. Me, I'm crazy. I'll walk around one shoe. I'll do crazy stuff, right? Us left to ourselves will create confusion for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with having shoes on. There's nothing wrong with being barefoot, but there is a time and place for all things ordained under our God. Amen? And if you are not consumed with God's word, see, the only reason why Moses knew to take his shoes off is because he heard the voice of God. The only reason Ezekiel knew to keep his shoes on is because he was listening to the voice of God. Brothers and sisters, are you listening to the voice of God? If we wonder why our life is in the mess and in the depths of the toilet going down the pipe to the sewage, it is because we are not listening to God's voice. Because remember, difficult times doesn't mean that your life is in the toilet. Because if you are in the palm of God, finances, car breaking, all these things around you that can go wrong, does not mean that your life is a mess or out of order. Because your circumstance of difficulty may be the calling that God is allowing you to walk through to make you who you're supposed to be. But if you don't have him, if you are not seeking him, if you are not pursuing him, when the things go wrong, you are in utter chaos. Your life is but a mist and has no worth. And all that is left for you is to be consumed by the fire that God will pour on this earth. And that is the reality. And this is what the world does not want to hear. This is what Islam does not want to hear. This is what false religion does not want to hear. This is not what Mrs. Gandalf with her staff does not want to hear. If you are not consumed with God's word, what awaits you is solely the fire from our God. And if you don't like it, too bad, because it's the truth. Online, if you don't like it, it's the truth. These false teachers and false prophets and fake apostles and all these people cannot help you and save you. When you are standing before your God, it will be you and him, and you will answer for your life. Don't send me a handkerchief or a special stick. I don't want any of these things that people talk about, but I want Yeshua. I want Yeshua. I want to know him. If we fall upon hard times in life and the world goes to utter chaos and I never get to put a tallit on again, I'll miss it. But me not having a tallit doesn't take Yeshua away from me. Me not wearing a yarmulke doesn't take Yeshua away from me. Me not reading from a Torah scroll doesn't take Yeshua from me. Me not being able to come to a synagogue on Shabbat doesn't take Yeshua from me. May we not be confused, brothers and sisters. We need to listen to the voice of God. I need you to really think to yourself and search within yourself. Have you been seeking to hear from the voice of God? Because if you have not, all the times that you spend not listening to him is idle time and you are wasting it. There's a purpose and a plan that God is speaking over every single one of us in different roles and talents and abilities for the building up of the kingdom of God. And if you are turning a deaf ear to your God by not seeking his word and praying and going after him, then you are missing the opportunity that God has for you. I know, because I've done that, right? I've turned, so I didn't just turn deaf ear. I put headphones on and play whatever I want, right? Not only did I turn a deaf ear to him, but I've allowed myself to listen to other sounds to drown him out. So it's kind of like, la, 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 all right? CJ knows about that. There needs to be an intentionality in our walk with our God. I've shared this before, and I just want to share this passage again because it's one of my favorite passages. I have a few favorite scenarios in the Bible, situations. This comes from John 12. It says, it's about close to Passover, and you know, Yeshua is telling his disciple, look, it's about time for me to go do what I came to do. It's about that moment for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. If you're wondering, why do I suffer so much? Why is my life so hard? Why do I have arthritis? Why do I have these pains? Why do I have these headaches? I'm not diminishing the pain that you feel. I'm magnifying how big God is. See, there is a point where we, as people, need to die. We need to go through the pain and the fire sometimes in our commitment to God on this plane of existence. Because that's where we really find life. If everything's all good and perfect and whole and you're healthy and you got all your bills paid and all your finances good, everything's great, you don't have any problem issues, any family issues, nothing, then what point is there for you to see God? You've become your own God, you've given yourself salvation, and you have everything you need, you don't need him. You become your own God. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Yeshua is not the Father. Don't be confused. Now my soul has become troubled, yet they are one God. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came. Father, glorify your name. Can you imagine having seen that scene? Yeshua doing this, this large monologue of declaration of himself, about to give himself. He's conscious that he's about to give himself. He knows he's about to go to the cross. He knows that he's going to be resurrected. This is what he's talking about. I'm going to die. This is how I'm going to get life. You too do the same. Be willing to die. You can't die without going through the process of pain and anguish and hurt. We're all going to die, but we're going to be raised if we're his. Amen. And Yeshua says, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice comes out of heaven. I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Can you imagine having been there to see this happening? And the next part is one of the saddest passages I've ever read in the whole entire Bible. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Can you imagine being so close to the voice of God and you think it's thunder? That's what we do every single day. We have access to God's word in more languages and translations and abilities to access it than has ever been in time. There were church fathers who didn't even have the whole Brit Hadashah, New Covenant. Do you understand the inability in the ancient world for people to have text so that they can just read the Bible? And yet we have it on our phone absolutely for free, hundreds of translations no matter what language you speak. Our technology in the age to come will stand as a witness against us of our inability to love God. Right, Mark was sharing about this a little bit, about the persecution of believers overseas and in other parts of the world. There are points where they would break up parts of the Bible so people can read different chapters of it because they can't even have one whole Bible. They would break the books up. Say, you take Matthew, you take Mark, you take John, we'll rotate so we can read it. Yet we have these Bibles that we leave around, and we have so many, so much technology, yet we're so far from God. Our life doesn't reflect him. Our life doesn't reflect his word. May the Lord have mercy on us. The passages of Ezekiel is talking about a great judgment happening over the land, over Jerusalem. And that Ezekiel would be a sign to the people that he can't mourn, the people can't mourn, because they are dealing with what they needed to deal with. What does this tell us? This tells us that even if the things that we're going through are the consequences of our own choices, there is a point where we can take them and turn them around for our God. That we can have a readiness in our circumstances of our situations and our conditions that happen over. Not to continue in the same sin, but that we say, this is the point, this is the line, I'm done. Are there ramifications for things? Yes. If you got 3 DUIs, you got 3 DUIs. They're not going away just because you come to Yeshua. If you got child support, you're going to pay child support till your kids are old enough. It's not going away just because you come to Yeshua. If it did, we'd have more people here. Trust me, I know. We need to take our condition, our circumstances right now, good, bad, indifferent, whatever we've done, whatever was done to us, whatever hurt we caused, whatever hurt has been caused to us, and we must take that circumstance and that condition and have a readiness to serve God in the midst of it. And all the stuff that goes against him because of being consumed with his word, we put that stuff down and we turn from it to walk in his ways. Amen? But there is a hope in the book of Isaiah from chapter 32 to 39. And it's hope for us too. Amen? If you know these passages, you can be really encouraged. Isaiah 32:1, it says, behold, a king will reign righteously. Is it saying there'll be a righteous king at some point? No, it's saying there is one king who will reign righteously in the future. We know this is future. We know this is eternal because it talks about a tent that will not be folded. That means there will be no breaking down of this tent that will be set up by this king that will reign forever. Then it says the majestic one, the Lord will be for us. It says the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our Lord. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. This is the Lord who will be king forever and ever. Amen. That even though we go through our hurt, we go through our pain, we've sinned, we've fallen short, there is a king who will reign. There is a king who is coming. And for us, Yeshua has already come and he's on the throne already. Some of us might have had deaf ears. Some of us might have been ignoring the Lord for a lot of years. But with this reigning of this king who will come, who is Yeshua, who has come, who will ultimately set up his kingdom and bring down a new heaven and a new earth, New Jerusalem, you don't have to be deaf anymore. You don't have to be blind anymore. Isaiah 32 says, then the eyes of those who see will not be blinded. And the ears of those who hear will listen. Brother says, may we be a people that are willing to hear our God. May we be a people that are willing to seek our God. Because indeed he will meet us. Going on, Isaiah 35, it says, he will save you. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For waters will break forth in the wilderness. If your life is a dry place and you don't have any type of relief from the dryness of the decisions that you made that have crusted you up and made you decay, our God is a God that can pour living waters over you and give you life if you're willing to come to him and turn and repent. Amen? Anybody with me? Anybody agree? No matter where you are, no matter how deep you feel like you have a walk with the Lord, no matter how much you think that you do, there's always deeper with our God. As we finish up, I'm going to leave this last verse for you. Yeshua, in the earlier segment of the Gospels, Yeshua is there with his disciples, and John's disciples come up to him and they're talking. And they say, you know, they ask Yeshua who he is, and they talk about all the things that's going on. And then Yeshua, and before them, says that he is the fulfillment of the earlier passages that they were reading. The thing that Isaiah looked forward to, the vision that Isaiah had, Ezekiel later gets the reestablishment of Jerusalem as well, and all those good things, and the promise of the future redemption, Yeshua says that that's him. He says, go to John and see what, go and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. John 7:22. May we not be a people, a congregation, a community. May you at home not be a person in your house or a family in your house, listen to this, that are not utterly consumed with our God. May you not be a people that look to other voices. May you not confuse God's voice with thunder or lightning or think that it's just an angel speaking. Our Yeshua is not an angel. He's the creator of heaven and earth. Amen. And he formed us to serve and worship and adore him for eternity. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I bless you and I praise you, Lord, that you meet your people, Lord. That you fellowship with us, Father, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would grant repentance to us, Lord, that you would illuminate areas in our life, Lord, where we need to serve you more deeply and more intimately. Show us, Lord, areas of our lives that we need to bow them to you. Set free any chains, Lord, that hold us back, Lord. The enemy has no authority over our lives if we are committed to you, Lord. May we walk in your ways, Lord, and be pleasing in your sight for the glory of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Amen.